Let's go right ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here tonight. This will be maybe shorter than a normal sermon I had in mind. Just concentrate on something simple here tonight. We'll have communion and let me get a chance to talk about finances a little bit. So I want you to see, let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we can read verse 1. Begin there. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ, am of Christ, rather. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, something fairly simple tonight. Appreciate all the laborers in the field here this week, and I know some others would have been there had they been able to be. And Lord, that's the way things go. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would just bless our time together here, and may bring some thoughts clearly to into view. We sometimes neglect to realize just, I suppose, this thing that the Lord implemented, not just with salvation, but with the church. And we know we're the body of Christ. People in this church know it better than maybe some in other places and have a better concept of it. But Lord, the fact that you ordained this institution, and Lord, we appreciate it. I'm glad to be a part of it, and Father, we belong to the most important organization that there is, and we pray that you'll bless as we just endeavor to open up a couple things here and to leave us thinking. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it mentions there the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Well, nobody here is ignorant of the fact that there are two ordinances in the local church, and foot washing is not one of them. But you know that there's baptism and the Lord's Supper. And when you stop and consider, you know, baptism memorializes salvation. And obviously, being baptized does not save anybody. You know that. But it represents what Christ did when He did save us. I mean, we are crucified with Christ, and so we died with Him and were buried with Him, rose from the dead. And that process, of course, the world, ourselves, we're all crucified. The law, we're all crucified on that cross. So we are clear and we have a standing with God. But it memorializes salvation. Now, the other thing, obviously, tonight is the other ordinance memorializes fellowship. And what that means is the Lord established not just salvation, but fellowship. And he calls it in 1 Corinthians 10, maybe just across the page or a page back from where you were. He calls that now in verse 16 and 17, communion. And so you may call it the Lord's Supper. You may call it communion. You don't call it the Eucharist. But you do call it communion. And that communion, you know that Abraham communed with God there in that hour that he prayed and prayed the Lord down to 10 people. If he could just find 10 people in Sodom, he wouldn't destroy it. But that was communing with God. It was fellowship. And, you know, your fellowship with God, that is prayer and the Word of God, meditation on the Word of God, and obedience to the Word of God, there can't be, those are the first order of importance. And nothing that I'm going to say here tonight should distract from the fact that you personally have been established in a fellowship relationship with Jesus Christ, God, through Jesus Christ. And so stay in prayer. Stay in the book. Keep memorizing it as long as you can manage to do so. And keep obeying it. But at the same time, while, again, the fellowship is individual between you and God, there's also another part of this, because part of your fellowship with the Lord involves fellowship with the brethren. Now look at this in verse 16 of chapter 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Well, so far, that's about me being saved. And that's about me taking of the communion, the Lord's Supper, knowledgeably with what the elements mean. That new wine, the grape juice, represents the blood of Christ, which I have been washed in. The
bread represents the body of Christ, which I am now a part of. But then it goes on, and it goes beyond just me and the Lord. Because it says in verse 17, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Well, that means that the communion and fellowship is not just me and God and you and God. It means that God is glorified in our communion and fellowship with each other. In fact, that communion and fellowship with each other, our gathering together here, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that should be a major boost for you in your relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying that us getting together here, there's a way of making it where the church is just a social club, a dating pool, you know, a rock and roll theater or entertainment center or something like that. But the fact that I know that a lot of churches have thrown away the Bible. I know that a lot of churches have thrown consecration and separation to the wind. And according to, you know, Revelation 3, the Lord is locked out of Laodicean church and standing there knocking, wanting to be let in. And I realize that those things are still true, but still the fact is the Lord established His church, and it was intended to be an integral part of fellowship with God. And so that shoots in the foot a little bit, the idea that, you know, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out, and it's just me and Jesus. And, you know, I'll go fishing with Jesus, and I'll go hunting with Jesus, and I'll go do what I want to. And the church, after all, there's a bunch of hypocrites there, and all that kind of stuff can be left behind. Because the fact of the matter is, sometimes going to church with a bunch of hypocrites is supposed to help you in your relationship with God. And you can bear witness that we do all we can to keep the hypocrisy down, right? But the church, the body of Christ, the assembling of ourselves together, what we're doing here, what I've, you know, me and Marcy and a lot of you that have been involved, or what we've given the last 30-something years of our lives for, is to keep this place in order the way the Lord wants it by the grace of God, and so that somebody can come in here and sit down and be benefited in their relationship with God by being with us. And so I just wanted to take a note of that, and I would say that it goes, you know, a little further in just the sense that if you're questioning that you never thought about it quite that way, I know that, again, the prime issue is your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ in prayer, in the Bible, in obedience. I get that. But if you think that the church is left out of that, that communion is the body of Christ together. The body of Christ, our communion and fellowship one with another, is supposed to help you and me in our walk with God. For instance, I don't know if you thought about this, but just deeper down the passage we're reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you leave that part about the communion, then it immediately goes into that thing with having fellowship with devils. And you can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Well, that's telling you that these people are coming together, and what are they supposed to be fellowshipping in? They're supposed to be fellowshipping not individually with God, but they're supposed to be fellowshipping together as a church body with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ in a Lord's Supper, sir, a communion service. And instead, because they've misunderstood and been mistaught, they're worshiping devils instead. Well, folks, that should show you right there that us being together, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, being together and worshiping together and having a part together and serving together and praying together and sweating together and paying off buildings together and all this kind of stuff, that's part of our relationship with God. It provides an integral part of our relationship with God. If there's any question about that, it's interesting that when you skip over to chapter 11, for instance, you go straight from communion to the issue of fellowship with devils, if you don't get it right, to 1 Corinthians 11, and then it goes, I know, into that issue, and it almost seems like a separate, disjunctive thing, why the Lord would go into how the woman ought to have a covering over on her head, and if she's uncovered and not under proper authority, there's an issue with the angels, right? Well, what that is not spiritual issues? And when you get down to it, when you go on down, I believe, to verse 16, that's not just talking about what a woman does at home in the kitchen or in her bedroom. That's talking about in verse 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither in the churches of God. It's talking about the church being together and folks being under proper authority and the man being the glory and keeping his head uncovered and the woman being the glory of the man, so she keeps her head covered. And we all know that a woman's hair is given for her for covering, right? And so there's no issue with that. I'm just saying, I'm trying to draw out the fact that our being together as a church, that's a communal communion with Jesus Christ in that. And to disobey it is to invite in other entities, angels, right? If you question still, the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it goes into the issue of the one body of Christ. It goes into those gifts, right? Spiritual gifts. Well, a whole bunch of people are busy doing nothing but trying to exalt themselves in their spiritual gifts. But it says on all the way through that passage that the spiritual gift is to edify the body of Christ, right? In three chapters in succession, the church comes together to be edified, to be built, to commune together, and to be benefited together in their communion with God. The individual is supposed to be benefited in his communion with God by coming to church. And that's fitting. I mean, it should be that way. I mean, you should get preaching here. You should get built up here. The Word of God builds you up. Prayer builds you up. You should be built up and strengthened in grace and knowledge here. You should be strengthened by your brethren here. And, you know, that's what is now slipping away because people kind of hit and miss and don't care. I'm not grappling at anybody here. I'm simply saying that the mental tendency these days, the trend among folks, is to give God a little when they feel like it, and the rest of the time and money's mine. And I'll give you a wave once a week or once every two. In the meantime, I got a cruise to go on, baby. And don't think that I'm grabbing at somebody that went on a cruise. Jessica, you're good. The point is that we're looking at communion here, and you're supposed to be benefited. The church being in fellowship together is supposed to be a boon and a profitable thing for your walk with God. It's not just you and Jesus. It's you and Jesus and us. And we're supposed to be a help to each other. So there's a couple of things that came out with this. The first thing that, and this is, these are widespread things in this passage, just thoughts that came to me along this line. But with that in mind, go back to 1 Corinthians 10, of course, where we started. It talks about those the communion service, the Lord's Supper, the fellowship and communion around the blood of Christ, and the fellowship and communion around the body of Christ. Then it talks about understanding it so the devils don't enter. But it's interesting then the next thing it says down in verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, all things are lawful for me. That's an interesting statement right on the heels of this whole issue with devils. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Folks, I just say with that statement that the focus is on what is best for others. In a day when people go and worship the God of their choice in the way that they choose, and it's all about me, and I've come to get this, and I've come to get that, and is the program right for me, and do you have something on Tuesday nights that I can do? Well, the issue is not you. In the end, what ought to happen is that folks come to church, and part of it is the benefit that comes to you and your spiritual walk with Christ, but the focus really should not be on you. The focus should be on others. That's what it says in verse 23 and 24. Now, maybe you didn't connect. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient, because we can apply it to ourselves, but all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Edify who not? It's not just that it's not edifying to you. It's not just that it's not edifying to God. But the issue is it edifying to your brother? And sometimes folks just miss the fact that the brethren need you. You know, it's easy to blow something off and not show up and, you know, kind of be hit and miss. But did you ever stop and think the brethren need you? Wouldn't it be a shame to get the judgment seat of Christ and find that there are folks that you know that were discouraged because you didn't play a part? I'm not trying to turn this into an attendance thing. This is about the communion. And there's plenty of preaching that can be done about a lot of things at a lot of different times. But how about thinking on the welfare of others, not you? Well, I only have so much time, and, you know, we've had this planned. And I know how that goes. Everybody deserves a vacation. And so go on one. And there's not a law that you have to go to church 3 times a week. Certainly not. But did you think of others? Did you think of others? You say, I can't be there. If you can't, you can't. I get it. There's folks that can't be here today and couldn't be here last week or the week before. I get it. But ladies and gentlemen, it is important to keep it on the top as a priority, because it does help you in your walk with God, but it also does help somebody else in their walk with God. Now, there's something else I'd have you to point out to you. Look in chapter 11:17. He brings up something else that I think is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and go down to verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11:17. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 are both, the communion issues are there. We'll quote from verse chapter 11 during communion service. But notice verse 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. I want to say, and this is about the gathering of the body of Christ being a benefit to you in your walk with God. And coming together should make you better. It says in verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. The Corinthian church gathers, and sometimes they leave worse than they came because of all the stuff that's going on. I get that. I hope you know that the folks involved here have busted a gut to keep this place in a position where somebody comes to church and is made better instead of worse. That's why we don't have rock concerts here. That's why this is not a bingo hall one night a week. It's because when somebody comes, we want them to be made better, not worse. You were just down on Nicollet Mall the other night, and perhaps even last night. Those gatherings at those bars with fans on each end of the bar hollering down the bar at each other and slinging beer and, you know, throwing nachos and stuff, those gatherings don't make anybody better. You think of all the places that you've been, and all the clubs that you've been a part of, and all the, you know, all the places that you held a membership somewhere, and you know... most of those places, when you came together, you left worse than better. There's not a single person that's been benefited in Minneapolis this week by going to those places. They're not made better by it. If they're a sports fan, fine. If they go to the game, fine. But as far as the rest of it, they're not made better. Now, you should be able to come here and be made better. Marcia and I, we were in Germany in 2016. Mrs. Castelaw, Brother Castelaw, had something to do that day. She took us up kind of a mountain up by Heidelberg, I think. And she cut us back, you know, into the woods kind of. We had to get out of the car and walk a little ways up this road. And it opened out into this amphitheater. And it was the place that the Nazis gathered. They built it specially as an amphitheater. It looks like one of those Roman things. I mean, it's huge. I don't know how many people I would even see, just thousands of people there, just out in the middle of the woods, and it's kind of banked, you know, against a bank up and all that kind of thing. But plainly, you know, it was for the gathering of the Nazis. Well, nobody was made better by a gathering of 10 and 20,000 Nazis in an amphitheater. Nobody was made better. But by coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, by the grace of God, you should be made better each time you come. Again, this is not all about just church attendance, and I don't want to turn it into that, but you come to church for the Bible. The Bible, the gospel, is the power of God. You come to a church for the preaching. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. You come for teaching. You're made better for knowing something that you didn't know before. You should be made better by it. You come to be admonished. You come to be exhorted. You maybe should even come to be rebuked and accept it gladly. But you come for a certain level of accountability. You know, like I said a little while ago, we're kind of accountable. Look, guys, if I just start not showing up to church, somebody needs to call and say, hey, what's going on? Because I'm accountable to you. And I got news for you. If you do that, I'm going to call you eventually and say, hey, what's up? Because you join church, and so you're accountable at some level. I'm not trying to be a master of your life. And Brother Darling and Brother Jason don't have an intention of keeping stars by your name for every time that you come to church and a big old X when you don't. But there comes a juncture you go, hey, what's going on? Because there's an accountability. And coming should make you better. You should walk away from church with a fuller fellowship with God than when you came. Something to think about that you didn't have to think about before. It's a serious thing. You think of all, you know, obviously, whatever the opposite of evolution is, deterioration. You look at all the deteriorative effects of our society and the place that we live today. I mean, even if you don't have raunchy movies, and even if you don't listen to raunchy music, there are still raunchy things that you run into. There are still things that tear you down wherever you look. You can't pick up a magazine, even if it's a scientific journal, without being torn down in your faith. That's what the attack is. Well, brother, there has to be something on a regular basis that, at least in part, reverses those effects. You're supposed to be able to be made better, 1 Corinthians 11:17, not worse. And by the grace of God, I hope that you find that to be true. Look at two more things. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:18. He brings up yet another thing. He says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, the opposite ought to be true. There's a unity that we have. We have much more in common than evolutionists have. And yet, sometimes they are more unified than we are. Sometimes the brethren tear themselves up. I mean, there are divisions, he says, among you. Well, those are the Corinthians. There ought to be a unity. And he goes on to say in verse 19, for there must also be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That shows you that the divisions, number one, are doctrinal. Now, folks, I acknowledge that, you know, you may not agree with absolutely everything you hear here, but I'd be severely disappointed if we didn't agree on 90%+. I'm serious. And if you agree on 90%+, that's pretty good. And I just want to say that we ought to be able to be unified in doctrine. And we should be. Folks that come in here ought to hear the same thing. I mean, the same brand, the same species of truth whenever they come. We ought to be unified in doctrine. And then it goes on and talks a little bit more. And it starts talking about how there's this social thing going on where everybody, you know, some bring a big supper, and instead of just taking the Lord's Supper the way we do, everybody brings their own supper, eats their own food and all that. And so there are some folks that go hungry and some folks that are drunken with their food and all that kind of thing. That's not right. One thing that ought to be acknowledged and that we ought to be able to say here too, that's a blessing for us, the world goes nuts about it. They are always talking about social equality. Well, brother, here we are all socially equal. I don't care whether you're a doctor or I don't care if you're a millionaire, and I don't think there are any of you that are. If there are, I want to talk to you after. But, you know, no matter what you're going through, you may make minimum wage, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What you are in this life, outside of a raunchy life of sin, doesn't matter. This is equal ground here. We're all come to hear the Word of God. So there's unity. There's focus on what is best for others. There's a coming together that should make every one of us better, not worse. There's a unity, doctrinally and otherwise. And then there's this, chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So the body of Christ comes together. We're here together tonight to take communion. Anytime, frankly, it's not just communion. Anytime you come to church, you ought to be called upon to make a self-examination. You know, folks, the next stop here is the judgment seat of Christ. And it could be any day. And we're going to be examined there. And I'm of the opinion that the more you get straightened out here, the straighter it'll be there. And you ought to examine yourself. I notice in verse 11, you know, I was talking about this morning a little bit. It's come up two or three times here, the terror of the Lord. I've been still thinking about that. You know, that 2 Corinthians 5, knowing that therefore the terror of the Lord we persuade men. And, you know, I've expressed, you know, that terror, I believe, at least in part, is the whole idea that whether you like it or not, one, you know, on resurrection, on rapture morning, you're going to show up in heaven with the mind of Christ, looking at things through Jesus Christ's eyes, just like He does it. And then you get to look at the life that you live down here. That's what a terrifying prospect, right? But I thought this too, because in verse 32, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And then it says, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Part of the Lord's actions upon us here are to correct us so that eventually He doesn't have to, I suppose it means, so that eventually He doesn't look at us and say, you know what, after all I did for you, you're just like the world in this area. Now, think about that at the judgment seat of Christ. Here you are, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, member of the body of Christ, saved all these years, gone to a Bible-believing church, and He looks at you and says, you know what? You're just like the world. What a condemnation. That's terrifying. It's terrifying. I would say that what this is about, and folks won't do it. Those folks, yesterday, wouldn't even stop to think, wonder if they're right. Now, you put PETA out there or some environmental wacko group, and there would be probably a greater percentage of people going, wonder if they're right. But the gospel, boldly preached, people standing around passing out tracts, nobody stops and says, wonder if they're right. Well, I'll tell you what you should be called to every time you come. Is self-examination. And so we're here tonight, in part, to examine ourselves. To see if we're in the faith, you need to cover that ground. But as far as just the self-examination of judging yourself, that you should not be judged. And that's what we're called to. That's the soberness of this life, is to examine ourselves through the eyes of God and know we failed and make corrections and go on. Because one day, we get to face it all. Amen? So we're going to go into communion here, and I think you folks know the lines very clearly. This